Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as, once again, we face the issues. Exciting program before us. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion and your input in this issue that we're facing today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your input, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of today. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to be talking about spies and sedition within. We're talking about spies and sedition within our government, within the ranks of those in Washington that's today continuing to carry out their plan to impeach President Donald J. Trump. And at the same time, they're focusing on that charade, causing chaos and confusion in American lives. They're ignoring, ladies and gentlemen, the spies and sedition that they have allowed, that's being, approved of and carried out in America today, that's going to undermine and tear down and destroy our constitutional republic. We'll be talking about that in a moment, but before we get into the dialogue and discussion on that issue, let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. No better place to turn to, ladies and gentlemen, in times like these that we're faced each day, no better place to turn to than the Word of God. There are a lot of folks that get uptight and excited. Many get anxious and angry. Others are worried and depressed as a result of what we see taking place. But I want us to know, ladies and gentlemen, that God's still on the throne. God's still in control. God's Word is still preeminent. God's Word still has the answer. It is God's Word that we need to seek when we're trying to work through what we should do and how we should respond as Christians and as conservatives. The Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, is very, very clear from Genesis through Revelation. And if you've not heard me say this before, let me, at the risk of redundancy, remind us that God created the home. He created government, and he created the church, and in that order. And so, ladies and gentlemen, anything dealing with government, anything dealing with morals, ethics, and values, anything dealing with doctrine and theology, anything dealing with homes and families and moms and dads and sons and daughters and the activities that should be carried out and how it should be carried out, all found in the Word of God. And they are all biblical issues, ladies and gentlemen. So don't you dare let any pastor from any pulpit or any Christian, any religious leader somehow admonish you and say, well, we're not to talk about those political things. There's some today, multitudes of Christians today, ladies and gentlemen, won't even enter into the dialogue and discussion about the charade, the chaos that's taking place in America today. At the leadership of Nancy Pelosi and the others in the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party that's trying to destroy our president, trying to undermine the rule of law, trying to ignore the constitutional republic that we have. I get a little weary, ladies and gentlemen. They refer to it as a democracy. Our democracy is in danger. There's a Greek word for that, ladies and gentlemen. It's called horse feathers. No such thing as democracy. Democracy is what we are devolving into. At the leadership of the Socialist Marxist Democrats, we're devolving into a democracy, which is mob rule. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when we speak about issues, we need to speak truth in love. We need to see what the Word of God says and be obedient to the Scripture. And that's looking at truth. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." So, ladies and gentlemen, you want to know the truth? Continue in the word of God. If you want to know what freedom is, continue in understanding what the truth of the word of God says. And Jesus then said in John 14:6, "I am truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about truth. Truth. Jesus then said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It's the word of God that is truth. But, ladies and gentlemen, so many years ago, George Orwell made a statement that I have found to be so prevalent and so valid for the society in which we're living in today. When George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that coming to fruition in the marketplace of ideas today, especially when you see what's happening in the Beltway in Washington. I don't believe they can spell truth when it comes to the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. I don't believe Jerry Nadler knows what truth means. I don't believe Adam Schiff can spell the word truth. And certainly when it comes to Nancy Pelosi, when she opens her mouth, you know she's lying, especially when she stands and says that she prays for the president. Yeah, I'd like to hear that prayer. I believe it's like Dr. Robert Jeffers said, the Democratic Party has an imaginary God. And if she prays at all, it's to an imaginary God. Because I just simply do not buy into the fact that she's waving her finger and says, "Don't mess with me," that somehow, some way, we should be afraid to call Nancy Pelosi out and our Socialist Marxist Democratic Party for what they're doing in trying to undermine and destroy our constitutional republic today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in a turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of landscape and lawn care equipment for not only the homeowner, but also for the professional landscaper. And the Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff telling can tell you and knowledge enough to tell you what to do and how to use them and answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Exactly where is that located? It's located right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and Interstate 295. 295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right at that intersection, you'll find the gigantic flagpole flying Old Glory. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a somber subject today, I must admit. It's a subject that most are avoiding today as conservatives and especially as Christians. It's a subject that we need to look at, and just one broadcast will not delve into the breadth and the depth of the problem that we're faced with today. But ladies and gentlemen, today we're witnessing yet another, if you please, show of the shadow government in control. We're watching another segment, ladies and gentlemen, another stage performance of the shadow government, its overt act of sedition. You might say, well, what is sedition? Look it up in your dictionary. Sedition is the conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or government. End quote. And that's exactly what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think you could name it anything less than sedition being carried out by the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. They're interested in one thing, power. Nancy Pelosi wants to remain Speaker of the House. Jerry Nadler, in his position, and by the way, it's never been brought to the forefront as to the anger and the animus between Jerry Nadler and President Trump. I understand that they're both from Manhattan. I understand at one time Jerry Nadler was what's called an alderman in the system of government in the Manhattan area of New York. And something took place while President Trump was in his real estate business, and I don't know what it was. If you know, call in and tell me. I'd love to know. But Nadler hates President Trump, hates him with a venom, with an absolute animus that's rarely seen in any situation, especially in the Washington Beltway circle of those in the House and the Senate. Ladies and gentlemen, This is precisely, that is sedition, precisely what we see the socialist Marxist Democrats are doing in Washington, D.C. today. It's an attempt to take down a duly elected president with over 63 million votes, 304 electoral college votes. By the way, Clinton, President Clinton, or the wannabe President Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the one that calls us a basket full of deplorables if we voted for Trump, the ones that one of the FBI upper agents said that he could smell the Trump voters at Walmart, that means that we are somehow deemed as being illegitimate. We that voted for President Donald J. Trump, 63 million of us, we're viewed as being nothings and nobodies and the offscouring of the earth. If you'd hear the Democrats and what they're saying and their position in relationship to we that voted for President Trump and placed him in office. But ladies and gentlemen, they're attempting to carry out what they said at the beginning. Before Donald J. Trump was inaugurated, before he was sworn into office, even after he had become the candidate, and then it was a recognized fact that he would be the president, and he was ultimately sworn in. Before that took place, many of these that are now crying impeachment and trying to focus it on the Ukrainian false philosophy of what President Trump said in his telephone call with the president of Ukraine, they had already been screaming from the very outset, impeach him, impeach him. Rashid Tlaib, one of the socialist Marxist Democrats that happens to be an Islamic invader in the U.S. House, happens to be one of the spies from within. Rashida Tlaib, in a vulgar statement, said, we're going to impeach him, using some very vulgar terms. Many of the other socialist Marxist Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, from the very beginning said to impeach him. One of the congressmen said that if we don't impeach him, he'll be reelected. Recently, there was a statement made by some of those in the House that if this impeachment does not work, if it does not put him out of office, then there's nothing in the Constitution that says we can't impeach him the second time or the third time. Hear what I'm saying? The mindset is we're going to impeach him. We're going to put him out of office if we have to keep on bringing against him charges that are vile and absolutely unsustainable, but yet they will attempt to do so. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we go further, maybe we need to look at just what has President Trump done that would warrant impeachment? What has he done? He's caused unemployment to be the lowest in 70 years, black unemployment at the lowest in history. He's personally protected religious rights and religious freedoms more than any other president of the United States of America. He has presented and protected our Second Amendment right. He's preserved it and protected it, ladies and gentlemen. If it were not for President Donald J. Trump and his position on preserving our Bill of Rights, and especially our First and Second Amendments, we would already have lost them. He has given us a strong economy. We're talking about what President Trump has done that warrants impeachment based on the socialist Marxist Democrats. Just last month, 266,000 or 226,000 additions on the employment roll. He's given us the lowest unemployment in history. He has moved the U.S. Embassy to Tel Aviv, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which is the official, legal, biblical, God-recognized capital of Israel, capital of the Jewish people. President Trump has protected our borders better than any modern-day president. President Trump has fulfilled his campaign commitment as no other president in history has done. President Trump has promised to drain the swamp. Howbeit, let me say this, I don't believe he recognized that it wasn't a swamp. What President Trump is facing is that there's a sewer in Washington, and it is filled with the power brokers and the self-serving socialist Marxists that have been caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and now they're trying to destroy the one that's caught them. It's a swamp. It's a sewer. President Trump has committed in his candidacy as president, and now after being elected as president, he has been trying to fulfill his campaign promises to drain the swamp, to remove the sewer. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what he's guilty of. But yet we find, even though you and I would call those magnanimous things that he's done, things that ought to have been done years ago, But it's when you find a professional, a businessman, a non-politician that's looking at how to fix the problem, that's elected into office, that is the surprise of the century to all of the socialist Marxist Democrats. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump with 63 million votes, with 304 electoral college votes, placed him in office. And yet Nancy Pelosi says he's an imposter. He's an imposter. That sets the stage, ladies and gentlemen. That sets the mindset of the general public to find him, to find President Trump is guilty of something that is wrong, and therefore he needs to be put out of office. They have tried all manner of polling and listening to groups as to the discussion of what should we call it? How should we couch this? How should we plan so that the general public would buy into the impeachment process? But as of today, the general public is more for President Trump than before he was elected. Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Marxist Democrats have already announced that if this impeachment does not work, they'll try it a second and third time, as I mentioned before. It is very dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, for Christians and conservatives. It's very dangerous for all Americans today, for our governmental system to be focused on hatred for the president, yet ignore the illegals in America, the fraudulent voting that is now extremely evident, and especially the undermining of our system of government by spies, now in the U.S. House of Representatives. Yes, I'm calling them spies, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll talk about that further in this broadcast, because those that were elected that are more prone to have allegiance to the Quran and allegiance to Allah and allegiance to Muhammad and allegiance to the Islamic way of life than to America and to our constitutional republic, they are indeed embedded spies invading the U.S. system of governance today. Now, I don't know if you've thought of it that seriously. Don't know if you've analyzed it. I have. Don't know if you have considered the Islamic invasion to be the invasion of spies coming into our system of government. But that's precisely exactly what is taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. Today, the most dangerous thing in America is not President Trump. The most dangerous thing in America is not the low unemployment. The most dangerous thing in America is not the churning, wonderful economy that we have in America. The most dangerous thing in America today is not what President Trump has done for America and for our constitutional republic and for the preserving of our Bill of Rights. But the most dangerous thing in America today, ladies and gentlemen, is the Islamic invasion, the spies, the jihadist terrorists, and those that are like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and others. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard me say on other broadcasts, there's a push across America today carried out by the Council on American Islamic Relations, better known as CARE. By the way, CARE, the group in CARE, the leadership in CARE, and the CARE movement, Council on American Islamic Relations, were unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation trial in 2008, where they were found to be guilty of sedition. They were found to be guilty of an attempt to overthrow America. They were found guilty of carrying out fraudulent fundraising to assist the overthrow of the United States of America by Islam. Unindicted co-conspirators means that they had the evidence. They were not tried, so therefore they were not placed in prison. But ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with an invasion of the spies in America. It's bad enough, most difficult to have them by the hundreds of thousands and yea, millions brought into America at the under the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama, that was protecting the Islamics, even in fact on one occasion identified himself as Muslim. Ladies and gentlemen, we had them trucked in across the borders and dumped, if you will, in Michigan and Minnesota and many other places across America, the inlands of America, the internal area of America, across what is called flyover country in America, that the Democrats have ignored. But ladies and gentlemen, we're finding it coming to a head today. Ladies and gentlemen, Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib both hate the United States of America, have great detestation for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, these socialist Marxist Democrats are concerned about the president of the United States? They're not concerned about the Islamic jihadists coming in. No, not at all. They see these jihadists as, and the illegals invading American territory as more votes that will keep them in power in perpetuity. That's what the Democrats see. That's their position. We have just witnessed, ladies and gentlemen, further proof of the government failures to protect Americans. And we see that, ladies and gentlemen, by the Islamic jihadists at the Air Naval Station in Pensacola, Florida. Three American airmen killed. Three. You might say, well, that's a low number. But ladies and gentlemen, cumulatively, you look across America and find out, see how many times we've had the jihadists unleash their wrath on Americans and how many have died. Look out around the world, look at the global picture of how many Christians and those that are non-Muslims are being slaughtered, and yet it's not reported by the fake, phony, false news today. The media ignores when Christians are slaughtered by the thousands around the globe at the hands of the Islamic jihadists. They pretend that it's not real. They act as though it is not taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, this Islamic jihadist in Pensacola stood up and identified himself as an Islamic jihadist when he pulled the trigger and summarily slaughtered, executed three American citizens, and others, ladies and gentlemen, were injured. But ladies and gentlemen, why is he here? Let's think about that for a moment. Why is this Islamic jihadist present in America? Who brought him here? Why was he in the Air Force being trained as a pilot? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you might recall that the 19 Islamic jihadists of 9/11, majority of those were trained in American flight schools and in American aviation centers across America. We in America trained them. The joke was that they didn't want to know how to land a plane, but just how to take off and fly a plane. Ladies and gentlemen, that should have been, how would you say, schooling enough for America. That grave, somber day that almost 3,000 Americans were slain summarily simply by being Americans by the Islamic jihadists. You would have thought, ladies and gentlemen, I would have thought that as a result of that, that we would never forget, that we would always remember the cause and the consequences of that. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Saudi student watched mass shooting videos during dinner party before the Florida Naval Base attack. Here's the article. I'll read you two or three paragraphs. It's about a three-page article. The Saudi national who killed three people Friday morning after opening fire in a classroom at the Naval Air Station in Florida reportedly hosted a dinner party earlier that week. In fact, it was the evening before, ladies and gentlemen, where he and several others watched videos of mass shootings, according to U.S. officials, what they said on Saturday. Mohammed Saeed, who was identified as a member of the Saudi military participating in the flight training program for foreign military personnel at the Naval Air Station, Pensacola, was killed by law enforcement after he fatally shot three people in what investigators are trying to determine was an attack motivated by terrorism. Now, since this article is written, they have finally said that it is an act of terrorism. I find it, ladies and gentlemen, antithetical to anything that's called truth when our federal government, our police powers, our FBI, CIA, and others will reluctantly name a Muslim shooting as being a terrorist attack. I'm still bothered by that. Further, the article says, while the FBI has determined declined to name the suspect or elaborate on a possible motive, U.S. officials speaking on condition of anonymity told the Associated Press and the federal investigators that told him that Saeed hosted a dinner party early in the week where he and three others watched videos of mass shootings. It wasn't immediately clear if the shooter acted alone, but the U.S. officials and authorities also told him that one other Saudi student who was at the dinner party stood outside the building recording while the shooting took place. Ladies and gentlemen, if the truth were known, that recording of the shooting. It's probably uploaded someplace on some Islamic news sites so that it will be a recruiting tool for them to recruit others to come in. The article further says 10 Saudi students are being held at the base while several others remain unaccounted for, the officials continue. And I also understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's at least one, they're holding 10, there's at least one that's on the run, and they're seeking his arrest as I speak. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a planned jihadist attack from the enemy within, from the spies within, from the Islamic invasion that's taking place in our nation. I'm told that we have about 5,000 foreigners training in our American military academies. I am told that there's approximately 400 to 450 other Saudi students right here in the state of Florida in the Pensacola Air Naval Station. Now, my question is why? What is it in the realm of jurisprudence? What is it in the realm of U.S. law? What is it is in the realm of benefiting for the United States of America to bring them in knowing that they hate America, knowing that this is a potential, realizing that this has happened before, and the recognition that this could happen at any time? Look at Fort Hood when the physician slaughtered, I think it was 12 or 13. He's on death row now and probably be there another 10, 15, 20 years before he's executed. Ladies and gentlemen, there were indications that he was going to do this years before he did. Speaking of the physician at Fort Hood in the shooting there of a few years ago, the federal government has yet to admit that it was a terrorist attack by an Islamic jihadist, with all that we know. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, this recent shooting at Pensacola Air Base, the Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott issued a scathing statement calling the shooting an act of terrorism. And I find it commendable on his part. An act of terrorism. But ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and answered. Why is it that we have brought so many of these into America, placed them in a position that they could retaliate against American and American soldiers and shoot them, it seemingly, at will? Now, there are a lot of other loose ends and questions. How did he get the weapon in? How was he allowed to have the weapon in his hand? How was he allowed to, what took place that concealed that fact? But ladies and gentlemen, the fact is, we're speaking today about the subject spies and sedition within. We're talking about within the American government system. Spies by the Islamics coming in. Sedition taking place at the hands of the socialist, Marxist, democratic leadership and the governance in America. They want power. Raw power is all they're interested in, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us, we understand that the Islamic jihadist at the Naval Air Station hated America. He hated the U.S. Constitution. He hated the American way of life. Why wasn't he vetted if you're going to bring him in? Number one reason is, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost an impossibility to vet those coming in from overseas like that. Many times they'll have a half a dozen different names spelled a dozen different ways and an impossibility to type the loose ends to know who is who in the record that you're looking at. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, manhunt underway for missing Saudi students after shooting at Pensacola Naval Air Base. We are now learning that the Saudi student who murdered three people at the Florida Naval Base this week had hosted a dinner party the night before. The purpose? To watch videos of mass shootings. U.S. officials spoke on condition of anonymity to the media outlets and said a Saudi student was recording outside the building while the shooting took place. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be aware of what's happening. We're talking about today spies and sedition within. We're going to have the top of the hour news. Be right back after the news. We'll continue our thoughts today on spies and sedition within.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.